Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orient Bell Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us on the call today from the management of Orient Bell Limited, Mr. Aditya Gupta, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Himanshu Jindal, Chief Financial Officer, along with Stellar IR Advisors, Investor Relations Advisors. The management will be sharing key operating and financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months that ended December 31st, 2022, followed by a question and answer session. Please note that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Orient Bell Limited will not be in any way responsible for any actions taken based on such statements and undertake no obligations to publicly update these forward-looking statements. Documents relating to the company's financial performance are available on the website of the stock exchanges and the company's investor section. Trust you have been able to go through the same. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Gupta for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our quarter three earnings and conference call. The sluggishness on demand continues in quarter three due to interest rate hikes and growing spends towards discretionary categories, which created a temporary deferment on purchases. Tile exports have also been below expectations, and this has forced moldy players to divert production to domestic markets. Powered with lower gas prices, a mix of propane and Gujarat gas, moldy has significantly increased discounting, putting greater pressure on sales volume and profitability. 70% of our volumes coming from outside moldy has constrained us from matching discounts in our own manufacturing facilities. Aggressive cost initiatives coupled with a lowering of gas costs at Hoskote and Secunderabad now enable us to offer more competitive rates, especially in projects. Retail projects being the single biggest segment where we lost out in quarter three. December was better, however, quarter three revenues have declined by 3.9%. Our core business fundamentals remain intact, with collections remain very robust. DSO continues to stay within 45 days. Our vitrified mix has improved to 46% in quarter three, a gain of 100 basis points over the last year. We have continued to strengthen our display footprint through exclusively Orient Bell tile boutiques. So far this year has been a net addition of 50, taking the count of active OBTVs to 335. We have also added net adds of 42 people in the last 9 months to enable us to drive the next leg of growth, and we continue to invest in our future. In spite of the downturn in margins, our marketing investments have been maintained at 3.5%, while we work on the new GVT line at Dora, which was announced in the last quarter, progresses as per plan. With this, I request our CFO, Himanshu, for the financial and other updates. Over to you, Himanshu.
Hi, thanks Aditya, and good afternoon all. A difficult quarter with volumes and sales are not as buoyant as in the past, and in fact, quite contrary to our own expectations, largely driven by the tepid markets and the short-term headwinds. While revenues were impacted, we also had a one-time impact on the cost front as well in quarter three. These were largely a result of initial teething challenges that we had across the three plants where we expanded recently. These are largely identified, resolved now. Also, the fuel and power initiatives, especially for our two plants at Hoskote and Dora, where the gas cost continues to remain elevated sequentially, have been completed, and these should aid margin expansion going forward. Coming back to our financial results for quarter three, we did not compromise or deviate on our agreed strategic targets, vis-à-vis branding, people, distribution, and displays. Our fixed cost thus remained largely flat on a YOY basis and also sequentially. Our EBITDA did contract by 500 basis points, largely on account of the lower volumes and increased variable versus the last year. Of this, we could have salvaged at least 100-150 basis points had we been as efficient as in the past. The one-off on cost that I narrated already. Moving to 9 months, our top line was 500 crores, which is an increase of  14.5% YOY, of which the volume gain was 4.4% and the ASP increased by 10%. While our EBITDA also expanded to 38.5 crores, which is 20% higher versus the last year. The consolidated PAT for 9 months was 16.1 crores or 3.2% of our sales. On the balance sheet side, while our core working capital cycle has stretched a little as we built inventories for supporting quarter four sales, we have largely digested all CapEx except the new line, the project which is going on at Dora, out of our internal accruals, and we are still net cash. I think we can now request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Jojo from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So I have two questions.
Jojo, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yes, sir. So I have two questions. One, in your investor presentation, you have mentioned that there are some new capacities coming in Nepal, South B, and other Central Asian countries. So how do you see the impact on retail players, especially the MOP players?
Can you repeat the question?
So Jojo, if I'm clear, what you're saying is, what is the impact of these new capacities? Is this what you're trying to understand?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So some of these capacities are already there. Some of these are still under pipeline. Yeah, the full impact would only be known once these capacities are established. See, more importantly, I think what we need to understand, most of these markets where the capacities are coming up or have already come in, traditionally used to be, how do I say, big importers out of India. Today, when the capacities are coming up, you obviously would see a bit of an impact coming onto the export side of what we do as a country.
Okay. And sir, second question, what is the peak revenue potential from the new GPT CapEx line?
I'm sorry, I missed
the revenue potential from the Dora GPT line.
So roughly, I would say anything between 1.5 to 2x, once the capacities are fully digested.
Okay. And sir, can you give some guidance on the revenue for the next financial year and some margin guidance?
That would be difficult, Jojo. I mean, the stated policy is that we don't provide any guidances. Markets are still difficult. I think we'll go by as how, as things progress, as time progresses, we'll be in a better position to share something with you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Sorry, I joined in a bit late. Just wanted to check a couple of things. One is in terms of the demand scenario, how you're looking at, and also how the situation might be, especially from the export perspective. If you could give some color, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So Ashim, on the demand scenario, I talked about that demand is sluggish. And you would have heard of a large number of units in Morbi having shut down. So demand has been sluggish, and that is kind of reflecting in the volume growth of the industry, which is a flat or negative. On your second question on the export piece, exports are growing from India, but they are not growing at the rate that they were envisaged to grow. So we were expecting a figure of about 18,000 crore-20,000 crore for exports out of India. And current sense is that it will be maybe between 16,000-17,000 crore. So clearly lesser than what was earlier thought of. And this is also kind of putting more pressure in the domestic market because a lot of this capacity which had been built for exports is now diverting production into India.
Okay. And if you could help us understand how the gas price currently in Morbi and what is our blended gas cost?
Okay. So Morbi is today using two different sources of gas. I would say bulk of Morbi vendors are using propane. And the balance, I would say about maybe about 70% would be using propane, maybe even more. And the balance 20-30% are using Gujarat gas. Gujarat gas, because of the falling demand, Gujarat gas reduced their prices by 7 rupees last month. Not last month, actually December, I think. Sorry, a month and a half back. And propane is available at, I think, equivalent calorific value between 50-55 rupees versus Gujarat gas at about 56-58 rupees. No? Sorry?
I just add to what Aditya said. This was true in December. There has been a bit of a softening now in the month of January. Prices have come off. Gas is now blended actually somewhere around 52 is what I heard on a landed basis in Gujarat.
Propane?
Yeah, propane is a little cheaper, 4-5 rupees. That's where economics are today. Yeah.
Understood. And sir, if you can give a broad sense about your gas cost, are we at par with Morbi or we are cheaper or expensive to them in terms of pure gas cost?
The answer is a little mixed. In our northern plants, we are already seeing gas prices coming off. But in our southern and western plants, the price has moved up sequentially, and it continues to be elevated. On a blended basis, we'll be closer to 60.
For the previous quarter.
For the previous quarter three. But yes, Secunderabad is coming off because this is linked to crude, same gas which some of my peers also get. So because of that relationship with crude, the prices are coming off there.
And for our Bangalore plant, we have also moved into propane recently.
Yes.
From this quarter. So that will give us substantial benefit
going forward, yes.
Got it. And if I can ask one more question on the same, with respect to biofuel, we heard that the market leader has talked about significant increase in significant mix of use of biofuel in the fuel. What are our thoughts? Where are we on that for our production?
See, we were a little ahead of the curve already because we implemented biofuels at least in our northern plants early. And this is why we got an advantage coming in quarter two as well versus whatever we saw on the street. In terms of our other two plants, we have started using biofuels already in Dora also for our spray dryers. In the southern plant, like Aditya mentioned, we have switched over to LPG as a solution. So there is a saving which is also coming in there as well now.
Got it. Any ballpark numbers in terms of how much is total biofuel as a percentage of our total fuel consumption?
It's not a very linear equation actually, you know, although, see, like I said, for powder preparation in the dry process plants, we use biofuels. Generally our things are being fired on gas, except in case of Hoskote, where even in kilns we are using LPG now. Yeah. So that's how things are. Blended basis, you know, you can say something like 40-50% of our fuel requirements, post all the projects that we are running today, should be broadly in that range of 40-50%.
Perfect. This is very, very helpful. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue for follow-up.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to get a sense on how is the demand on domestic front currently and how it has been in quarter three and same trend on export market.
So Keshav, I talked about it. Now from a volume perspective, demand in quarter three was sluggish. We've always seen that whenever there is a cost advantage which Morbi gets, the first instinct is to drop prices and push more product out, and which basically down the line leads to the channel partner delaying their purchases, running down the inventories in expectation of more price drops in the future. So we have seen that, and so demand has been sluggish, especially I would say, more so I would say on the retail front. I talked about how, you know, with interest rates moving up, with consumers spending more towards discretionary categories, I think home renovation, the pure retail demand has been slower than what we had expected it to be. Going forward, I think the budget yesterday continues with the good work on bigger and bigger allocations on CapEx. I think almost half of the CapEx is going into railways and into roads, and any building and construction, this thing, and also, you know, the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, that also has seen significant increase in their allocations. So I think medium to long term, extremely buoyant about the category. Housing is a major need in the country. We are way behind, and as the economy keeps on growing and all, I think we'll see more and more demand for this.
Maybe if I can add, so Keshav, there are two or three things from a demand perspective going forward, you know, beyond whatever Aditya shared. So, you know, yes, post the pandemic, there is obviously an interest in real estate. Real estate has obviously taken price increases, and they launched a lot of new projects, yeah, in the last 2-3 years. A lot of that tiling is supposed to happen in the next 1 or 2 years. There are new launches which are continuing to happen. So that would add to the demand. Correct? Tiles being, non-substitutable, with infra spending going up, with this being the last year before elections, a lot is on play on the demand side. I think on the supply side and on the export side is where there are certain challenges right now, and we need to see how they play out going forward.
Okay. Got it. Is it a fair assessment, you know, as two-month export has picked up? So if the export picked up, possibly the Morbi, which is dumping in the domestic market, that might slow down and we might see a good growth for the company?
So Kavish, I think, exports, we're hoping that exports will pick up. Freight rates, container rates, maybe 20% of what they were a year and a half back. But there are a lot of factors at play here, not just the cost of manufacturing in India, but also how the economies of all these countries where we export to performs over the next 12 months. So I think that's a big factor at play. Another thing which was talked about earlier, Jojo had asked that question, we are seeing new capacities for tile manufacturing being planned in different countries, in Saudi Arabia, for example, in Nepal, for example, in Africa, for example. So we have to see how this will impact the overall tile exports from India. But given the fact that Indian tile industry is extremely cost competitive, the most cost competitive in the world today, and extremely good quality with a very, very wide range, I think if the importing country demand picks up, exports will really boom in India, from India.
Okay, got it. One last question from my side. So should we expect a lower realization in quarter four due to correction in prices or maybe giving higher discount to dealers?
So, Keshav, historically, quarter four has been a much better quarter for the company because a lot of projects kind of get closed and pushed through and all. So let's see. I spoke about how some of the gas pricing would be better in quarter four than it was in quarter three because some of the actions that we have taken, plus in Secunderabad, the biggest plant, the gas pricing is anyway coming down. So we are hopeful. Let's see how the quarter shapes out.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question would be, you just highlighted that retail demand is a bit weak. So maybe in the short to medium term, are we going to focus more on the institutional part? Any comments on that?
So Rohit, we are doing that. See, one thing about tiles is that it's an extremely fragmented industry. If you were to count Morbi and all, there would be nobody who has a double-digit market share. So even when demand is down, it's kind of coming down to a market share game for all players. And having said that, yes, the institutional market remains a strong focus area. We are seeing post-RERA, post-demonetization, we are seeing bigger and bigger builders coming into play. And a lot of building and construction projects, a lot of residential projects being announced in the bigger cities. But nature of our business is that from the launch of a project to the actual tiling stage, it is a 3.5 year kind of a time period. So our focus on institutional markets will keep on continuing. And I don't see this as either-or kind of a strategy. We will be working on both. And institutional market would be an extremely important part of the overall go-to-market strategy.
Got it, sir. Sir, and my second question would be, like you said, Morbi is giving this higher discounts and getting into the domestic market. Once the export market, comes back to normal, do you see them shifting back and focusing on exports, or do you feel that there may be a shift to an extent, the Morbi guys coming back into the domestic market?
I see them shifting to exports at the first possible thing, Morbi, any vendor would prefer an export order to a domestic order any day. And there are very, very simple, clear reasons for that. For example, an export order, you will get one container load of just one SKU, one design. So it is much easier for them to manufacture rather than a retail Indian dealer would ask you for 1,000 meters, which is spread out across some 25 different designs. More difficult to manufacture and all. plus all the new plants in Morbi have imported machinery with some kind of an export commitment for getting concessional custom duties and all. So there is an interest there to fulfill those targets and get those benefits from the government. So with all of this, plus payments are by and large secured through NCs and advance payments and all, while in Indian domestic market you have to give credit. So at any point of time, the Morbi vendor prefers an export order to any domestic order.
Got it. Sir, and my last question would be on the dealer front. What is the response of how are the dealers interacting with you in terms of Morbi coming in? So are they, because in the past, like 1 or 2 years, they were more oriented to the branded players and not towards Morbi. So are they shifting towards Morbi because of, huge discounting, or are they still ready to, keep the branded companies? Just some feedback on that.
Morbi is largely commodity-driven trades. So they can be of value to a channel partner only for projects which are price-sensitive. Yeah, and this is precisely what Aditya and we have tried to narrate via our IR releases, that yes, projects is something which is at risk in case Morbi increases their, discounting.
Got it, sir. So thank you so much, and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good afternoon. So my first question is, regarding, going slightly back into the history. So I was looking at the volume numbers in 2017-18, and they were around 27 million square meters, and even in FY22 we were lower than that. And if I compare that to our peer set, all of them have grown over that number. So any sense as to, have we lost market share, or what were the bottlenecks, if you can throw some light on that?
We calculate market share for the cohort of the listed players. I think we have really gone back. I think over the last about 2 to 3 years, we have been clearly gaining market share. Not as extensively as the market leaders, but I would say that there are only three companies in the listed space which have gain market share, and Orient Bell is one of those three companies in the last 3 years. Having said that, your second part of the question is, when you talk of volume, see, we have made this, we are making this shift from much lower end, smaller tiles to larger tiles over the last 4 years. So in a pure volume perspective, you would see, for example, we were doing a lot of, at one point of time, our biggest products were 8-inch by 12-inch tiles, or 12-inch by 12-inch tiles and all. Those things have changed for us. So there is some of these low-end products where volumes have gone down, or a 10-inch by 15-inch tile. So we are kind of not so worried about that. This part of our strategy to kind of premiumize the company and move up our product portfolio.
Okay, got it, sir. So kind of taking this forward, so if, let's say, if we look at 3 years from now, our strategy would be to gain, so let's say if industry grows volume at 7-8%, and considering that we are a smaller player and have aspiration to be in the top three, does it mean that we will incrementally grow faster than the peers and take market share? And if so, how will it happen? Will it happen through distribution expansion, product expansion, if you can talk about that?
So see, if you were to see post-COVID, that is FY21, 22, and 23, if you see these 11 quarters, you will find that Orient Bell is growing much faster than the industry average, and you would find that the growth rates would be in the top two or three listed players in the company. So definitely, yes, the ambition is to grow faster than the industry, and that is what we also have been delivering, I think, for the last 10, 11 quarters. Your second part of your question, how is it going to happen, is going to be a mix of everything. Distribution has to expand. We are doing that. We have programs running for identifying new channel partners and serving them new geographies also. And in terms of product, as the market keeps on changing, I already mentioned that we are working on premiumizing our product portfolio. The new line of GVT, which we announced in the last quarter, which is going to come up in, say, 9 months from now, is for 4x2 GVT. It will at one shot double our capacity for doing GVT. And the Hoskote expansion, which we completed in the last quarter, we are now making 4x2 semi-vitrified tiles from there. We just launched it 1.5 months back. So all of these things will keep continuing. We are working on slabs. We are selling a good quantity of slabs, which is a product category was almost zero 5 quarters, 6 quarters back for us.
Okay, got it. My second question is on realization. So if I look at from FY20, I think our realizations have gone up by 20%. And, the market leader was alluding that with gas costs coming down, that benefit will be passed on as higher discounting. Even more B players have not taken as much price hike as organized players. So do you think that will also mean that our realization with gas costs coming down will again go down to some extent?
So difficult to say, because there are multiple factors at play here. One is the gas price, definitely. And how the market behaves, because as I said earlier, there is always somebody or the other in our industry who is willing to discount for volumes. Having said that, if you should see the last 2-3 years, keep aside the last quarter where we had some challenges on the cost side also because of all the new capacity being put into all the new capacity coming up and there were some disturbances in the plants and all. You would see that we have secularly kind of grown our margins over the last 2-3 years. We would try to retain as much of the gas price benefits that we are getting within our P&L. But having said that, we need to be competitive. And we would not shy away from, selectively giving more discounts to get volumes. So let's see. It's just a bit of a dynamic, ever-changing play between the volumes and the profitability. A lot of cost initiatives are underway. And if they go as per plan, I think we should be able to do well on both counts.
Okay, got it. And last question from my side. So you mentioned Himanshu mentioned that our average gas cost was 60 rupees, I think, in Q3, and costs have come down in some of the plants. So how do you see that cost for Q4?
So I was just to answer. We still have time. I think January is the month where we've seen some more reduction coming in the North plant. The other two plants are largely flat. So, yes, through the fuel switch that we are doing at all our plants, especially at Hoskote and Indore, we should see some advantage growing into quarter four. But at this stage, to give you some idea as to where the blended cost would be, a little difficult.
But I think, Dhaval, maybe we can safely assume that there will be blended costs for us in quarter four will be lower than that in quarter three.
Yes. And there are reasons for it, Dhaval. As I mentioned earlier on my last call also, LPG is something like 15 odd rupees cheaper on a landed per SCM basis today versus whatever we are drawing. So that's roughly around 20 odd percent cheaper. Yeah. So that advantage itself, if I look at, you know, at my P&L, that's a massive advantage coming in at a plant where we are growing capacity, you know.
Got it. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equirus Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So if you look at historically, after the new management has taken over, our differential with the market leaders in terms of margins has gone down, because when they were making 17, 18, we were making 7. And when they started making 15, 16, we are still making 8. How do you see this differential, or what will be the comfort zone that you are kind of targeting over next 2 odd years? Do we see this differential coming down to 2, 3, 4% over a period of 3 years?
So, Viraj, you're asking a very difficult question. So I don't know how the market leaders' margins will kind of play. And there has been, as you very rightly said, there have been such swings from, I think, 19% in the recent past in to down to 12%, 12.2% and all. So it is plus with a lot of new capacity coming up.
Which is why I'm asking for a differential. I don't know where they will end, but at least to get some sense of how your competitiveness vis-a-vis the market leader.
So I think, how do I answer that? I really don't know, Viraj, how it will play out. But I don't want to like kind of, you asking me for a differential, I wouldn't like to hazard a guess there.
Can I try and answer, Viraj? Okay, you look at our gross profits more than anything else. Yeah, forget about EBITDA for the moment. EBITDA is something, as and when we build up more volumes, the operating leverage is going to play out, right? So on a gross profit margin, look at it and tell me where are we versus our competition. Then we can talk, yeah? As I understand, the last few quarters, I think we have been pretty competitive. In fact, if I'm correct, our gross profit margins on a blended basis have been generally superior than our peers.
Sure.
So, just to add, this quarter was a one-off, like I explained in my opening remarks. There was a slippage in terms of the new plants, you know, getting operationalized, etc. If that was to be discounted, my gross margins were still intact, largely. Yeah.
Sure. Sir, in terms of, first quarter generally tends to be the best export quarter for Morbi players. And we have also seen propane gas coming down from 53 rupees to 47 rupees for Morbi players. Do you see this quarter being a 5,000 crore export for the whole industry, which will leave a lot of room in the domestic space for players like us?
See, let's look at what happened in quarter three. Quarter three, the export market or the exports from the country, whatever data comes in from Mundra, suggested that we've done something close to 4,000 odd crores. On a YTD basis till December, the figure is around 11,000 odd crores is what we picked up. Yeah. So yes, quarter three was meaningfully better than whatever we have seen over the last some 4 quarters or so now. And there are multiple reasons to it. Yeah, one, very clearly, the container freights have come off, like what Aditya also mentioned. They're down at least 4-5x from wherever they were. The other play was obviously on the gas pricing in Europe. Yeah, you would have seen the peaks, whatever we saw last year, 300, 350 euros per megawatt hour, or a Henry Hub suggesting $10, etc. Look at where things are today. Yeah, container freights are still cheap. But more importantly, gas pricing
on the spot basis for European peers is coming down. So, and then there is a complexity around whatever is happening on the other markets where new capacities are coming up. Plus, there is a risk of a slowdown as well. Now, just for quarter four, I think, you know, whatever run rates we want to assume, it's not going to be significantly different than what we did in quarter three. Yeah. So I think 15, 16, 17K max is what is possible this year. Next year, obviously, challenges are there like we already highlighted.
So, Raj, say we are already into the second month of quarter four. The sense we don't have data, you know, we are not big on exports. But the general sense from Modi has been that exports have not really been very different or dramatically better than quarter three in the month of January. So your question of 5,000 crores, I think in March a lot of the Modi capacity is taken up by domestic players because of year end and all. So export takes a bit of a backseat and then comes back in a very big way, as you said, in quarter one. So I think 5,000 crores would be an optimistic number for the quarter, but let's see. And as I said before, we are not players in the export market. So you have to take whatever I say about exports with a pinch of salt.
Sure, sir. And can you post the expansion that we have completed? How much time do you think you will take to reach a reasonable utilization of the expanded capacity in your view?
So I think we have a plan. We are working as per plan. Things are going ahead as per plan so far. And typically, you know, Himanshu kind of answered that. We are looking for payback periods of, we are looking for 1.5 to 2x the revenue that we have, the capex that we have invested as our terminal revenue listing and all. So moving as per plan, Viraj, don't see a concern there. Actually, on a capex front, that's one of the good stories over the last 2-3 years. We have added significant amount of capacity, much more than we would have added, maybe 8-10 years before that. So 2 years we have done that. Apart from that, we have done a lot of modernization of our plant, which doesn't add to the capacity, but makes us much more cost effective and future ready. And largely out of our own internal accrual. So that's a good story. That should continue in future also.
No, the only reason I'm asking is we are today at 33.5 million square meters and our utilization is significantly lower than that. So that's why I was asking.
So that is, I think, a temporary market play because there is, as I said, volumes have been a bit weak. But if you heard what I was saying earlier, in terms of A, it is a market share game. The market is much bigger. B, I think long term, with all the way the economy is growing and the way the building and construction sector is being invested into, both by the government and the infrastructure sector is being invested into, I think the medium term future is extremely bright for the industry.
Maybe I'll just talk to what Aditya said. Raj, capacities are built with a plan, obviously. Yeah?
Sure.
And there are certain assumptions that we consider. Yeah? There is a worst case, there is a best case, there is a base case. Base case is largely aligned to normalized business conditions. Today, where we are, like we already mentioned on the call, things were not rosy in the last 6 months or so for the industry, with whatever was happening on interest rates or non-essentials, etc. And even from a supply side, we see some challenges today. So for us to be able to answer it is a little difficult, because the assumptions are obviously on a base case scenario. Under normalized conditions, I don't think more than 1 or 2 years is required to ramp up any capacity. Yeah, if things are all okay, supply side, demand side, all okay, growing at a particular rate, I think 1.5-2 years is max. Does that answer?
Sure. Yes. Thank you so much. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical. Please go ahead.
Sir, taking up from the previous speaker, sir, our peak margin differential with the market leader used to be around 11 percentage points in FY17, which reduced drastically by the fourth quarter of last year, wherein we did 12% operating margin and market leader did 15% operating margin. So the differential was merely 3 percentage points. But since fourth quarter of last year, in the past three quarters that we have seen, now this again the margins are diverging and now the differential has doubled to 6.5% between us and the market leader who made 12% margin and we made around a 6.5% margin. So why is there this divergence in the past three quarters between our margins and the market leader's margin?
See, quarter four is generally a very big quarter for Orient Bell. Specifically, we do more projects. This is very clear. And therefore, there is an operating leverage which continues to play in quarter four, which is kind of absent in the other quarters. So that is number one. I think, you know, like I said to Viraj also, and I'll try and repeat it. I think one is gross profit margins, blended gross profit margins. This is something that you should obviously compare for all players and see where we are. Yeah. And the second thing, like I said, you know, this quarter was a one-off, like I explained earlier. There were challenges on the manufacturing side, which were identified and killed early in the quarter. But still, there is an impact coming into this quarter. Correct? So, you know, you have to consider the nine-month difference, you know, and nine-month look at where we are with service our competition. I think that's a fairer representation.
Right, sir. So also another matter of concern is that after peaking, this I'm talking about our average selling price realization, in the first quarter at 289 rupees, in the second quarter they reduced to 288 rupees, and in the third quarter to 284 rupees. So firstly, sir, why is this downward trend there, whereas the input prices are on the upward trend? And secondly, sir, when will this reverse?
So, sir, see, ASPs coming up or going down a little could also be on account of product mixes and whatever additional discounts are given at a particular point in time to support volumes. So, you know, 289 becoming 284 is hardly any change. I don't know if I should even react to it.
Right, but in the face of increasing input prices, even a marginal decrease in realizations translates into a bigger hit on the margin. So that is the point of concern.
Fair enough. But I think, you know, what you should look at is how much is percentage gains for us in terms of ASP since the start, of the cycle on price run increases, now, so to say. If I look at ASPs now and I'm trying to compare it with whatever we do with the market leader, our ASPs are more or less, the differentials continue to be the way it was even in quarter four last year. So the differentials are not really changing, which means we are more or less in line with the market.
Right. Sir, and in the fourth quarter, do you see this trend of declining realizations due to product mix or discounting or a mix of both reversing, or is this expected to continue considering that demand still remains weak?
So I kind of covered that earlier. Some of the things in quarter four versus quarter three which are positive are, I said that earlier, that quarter four blended gas cost we expect it to be lower than what it was in quarter three. So that's one positive factor. And quarter four, Himanshi already covered that. We generally, because of more projects, we get a better operating leverage in quarter four versus quarter three. Historically also you would have seen that our quarter four margins, reported margins, are always better than the preceding three quarters. So we expect that to be there. To the second part of question, yes, we have to be competitive in the market. You have seen how industry leaders have consistently talked about throughout this financial year that volumes and volumes only is their single point agenda, and margins nobody's talking about. They just are completely focused on driving volume sales. So that will have a downward pull for us also in terms of you know, ASPs, in terms of realization. So we'll kind of keep taking that call on a daily basis in terms of how to adjust for pricing, what projects and all. So that will go on. But there are some positive factors in terms of gas pricing and operating leverage, which should work in our favor in quarter four.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Amnish Kumar from Hridaya Cars. Please go ahead. Amnish, may I request to unmute your line from your side and go with the question, please? Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, you
are. Yes, yes, you are.
Good afternoon. Few questions. One is, in the last call, you had talked about the fuel mix being moving to the biofuels and all, which even Kajaria talked about in their call, and we also discussed in the early part of the call. If I have to understand, and one of the problem or the key challenge for the industry has been the variability in the natural gas, and which has been impacting the margins in the peaks and troughs. With the change in the fuel mix, how does the cost of operation for the industry change, and do you think it can be sustainable, or would it be more of a temporary factor?
So, Nikhil, I'll just explain to you where largely biofuels are being used by OVL and maybe by the other outside movie. So, we use the fuel in two areas. One is for preparing the powder from which the tiles are finally made. And the second is in the kilns for baking the tiles. So we are using biofuel for the first part, which is for producing powder. We are not able to use biofuels in the kilns. There we are using gas across all our three manufacturing units. We started on, as Himanshu said, we had started off on biofuels quite some time back. And we continue to do that. So it is not new for us. We have been using biofuels for maybe a year or more now. And so to that extent, the price advantage and the cost advantage and all is already baked into our margins. And going ahead, I think even for our competitors, for example, in Morbi, again, they use, most of them would be using, say, coal for making powder, and then using gas, whether propane or Gujarat gas for the kilns. So that's also not something which is very new. It has been going on for quite some time.
Okay, so it doesn't change anything at the industry level in terms of operating cost structure.
No, I don't think it does that.
Okay. And secondly, you mentioned, this could be pretty naive question, but you mentioned that in this quarter, we are seeing some amount of respite on the gas prices. But when we look at the average prices and the fall in the gas or the prices, it looks pretty steep. So how and when does that percolate into our P&L? Or where is the disconnect? I'm just trying to understand.
Okay. Let me try and give you some more on gas pricing. See, if you recall what happened in the earlier years post-pandemic, you know, FY 2021, discount that, 21-22, we were still at an, you know, how do I say, at a more advantageous situation versus those who were bought, you know, buying on spot or those in Morbi. So for them, the gas costs increased steeply and also fast, very quickly. Yeah. For us, the increases were, since we buy largely from GAIL, the increases were, how do I say, less steep and also gradual. This year, on the contrary, you know, the way things are working out, people who are buying on spot, as the swap prices have been very volatile and they have been coming off, people who are buying on spot or in Morbi have got an advantage. You know, so for them, the drops have been fairly steeper. For those who are still continuing to buy from GAIL, largely from GAIL, you know, so contracted gas is where the increases are still there or prices are coming off slowly and steadily. So the advantage which we had last year is slowly evaporating this year. Correct? Over a period of time, that equilibrium will arrive.
So Nikhil, one thing I'd like to mention is that, you know, this whole gas pricing thing is so volatile and it kind of changes so fast. I think sometimes one is caught in the long end of it, that's fine. But I think the contracts that we have in place in all our three manufacturing units, they enable us to do a much more a predictable pricing for our, in terms of costing and in terms of our, you know, go-to-market strategy. So I see that as a very big benefit that we have, that things for us don't change dramatically, you know, from month one to month two. As Himanshu explained, the price increases happen gradual, yes. So does the price, the gas price drops are also gradual. So that helps quite a lot in our go-to-market strategy. Now, who knows, next month propane prices might go up or, you know, Gujarat gas might change, the spot gas prices might change dramatically.
Thank you. So the line for the participant dropped. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you so much. Thanks for your patience and your interest in OBL. If there are questions, any further questions, please feel free to come back to either Stellar or us directly. Thank you so much and have a good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Orient Bell Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.